Can I take issue with a childhood, beloved childhood classic?
I thought that was for later in the show.
No. Later in the show, we're talking about video games. Today, we're going to be talking about books.
Oh. Okay. Ugh. I guess I always thought that Chris Plant bringing like smart movies to the show was a slippery slope toward books.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess if we...
I'd like to talk about the Venus de Milo.
What was that?
All right, let's hear it.
I'd like to talk about the Venus de Milo.
Okay, Goodnight Moon has like basically nothing to do with the fucking moon.
Very little to do with it.
Like 97% of that thing is stuff that's happening in the room. So it really should be Goodnight Room and various things within that room.
That's a good point. I never thought about it that way, but it is mostly like, is it the person who wrote that book was literally just like, shit, I got to write a book by 4 p.m. tomorrow. Let's just look around. Let's see. I got some porridge.
I hope that's
there's a
not
red balloon.
True.
That's good. That's good.
If that's true, this person lives in the most psychotic David Lynch style room imaginable. There's a red balloon, a telephone, some mush, a bunch of cats, a mouse,
some mice. Yeah,
it's this is not a healthy environment to raise a child.
There's who's the old woman?
Yeah, it's a fucking rabbit. There's like a grown lady rabbit who lives in the room with him.
Yeah,
is it bad that I didn't read this to my kid?
Clearly not. I think you did a good job.
Yeah. I was busy reading. I read Mosey's favorite book is The Cole Protocol, but also he likes Broken Circle. Ghost of Onyx. Yeah. Did you read any of these? You didn't read the entire Halo Chronicles to your children? The Fall of Reach?
I'm sorry.
This is my son, John 118. That's right. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the pretense of this introduction has been stretched to its breaking point. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the fort.
Yeah, man. This is Griffin McElroy, and it's Fortnite time, baby. Hold on, let me do my dance. That's the new Fortnite dance I learned from playing Fortnite in 2022.
Oh, my name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know a pretty good game this week.
My name is Ross Farchick, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a game of the year show that goes all year long. I used to say that, and I wanted to say it one more time to remind you what I used to say, but now I say it's a video game club. And just by listening, you, my friend, are a member. Today, for reasons that honestly, I still don't understand, but I am happy about, I'm not displeased, we're talking about Fortnite. Chris Plant, the camera smash zooms to you. A microphone edges into frame as we hear from off screen.
I can't
wait.
What
is Fortnite?
I played Fortnite for the first time in forever these past few days, and I still need Chris Plant to
kind of walk. How come you haven't played with me, Griffin?
Because I play at odd. Let's let Chris Plant do his business.
I was trying to give him a few blessed seconds.
It's the metaverse, baby. It's the metaverse. No blockchain required. That work?
All right.
No, we need more than that.
No, not even close.
It is a ripoff of PUBG. Just don't think that it's gonna. People don't think it's gonna be much of a thing. You know, like I mean, how long has it taken for this game to come out? 5 or 6 years, and now you're telling me that like Fortnite's gonna be the PUBG killer? Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck. So anyway, we'll talk more about Fortnite after the break.
To set the tone of this episode, can we assume that most of our listeners have not played Fortnite in a while?
I think that's a fair assumption. They haven't played
in a while.
Let me speak to my introduction of how this episode even came about, because I think it's probably my fault.
100% certainly, but go on.
Okay, so I was playing Halo Infinite multiplayer last year. I sort of hit a wall a little bit with it. I still enjoy the game, but there is sort of a limited amount of content in the game. And I was looking for a new multiplayer game, and a friend of mine was like, hey, me and a bunch of guys are playing Fortnite. Are you interested? And I was like, well, I have not played Fortnite in about 3 years. I played when it first came out, like chapter one, season, like very early, season three.
You liked it before it was cool.
Before it was cool. I played then. I haven't played in a while. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I was immediately struck by like how nice it was to play a game that is like a social multiplayer game that did not require me to like be leveled up or at their skill level or whatever. So I was able to just jump in, and I was pretty blown away by how much fun I was having with it, such that I actually recommended it to y'all. And said, like, hey, we should give this a shot. And I know I could speak for Justin and Plan, Griffin, I don't know how you feel. It seemed like everyone else who has played it after taking a long break or never playing it is pretty immediately taken by it.
Yeah, it's wild. I never played it.
You never played it once?
What?
Never played it one time. And I knew what it was, right? Because I had played, obviously, a lot of PUBG and stuff like that. So, like, I knew.
Because you're alive.
Yeah. Right? Well, see, that's the interesting thing, right? You stopped here. I lost track of what this thing was. Like, I knew what it was when it started. But you hear these stories as it goes on where it's like, Ariana Grande is doing a concert in here. And sometimes The Rock's around. And Spider-Man's there. And it's like, I actually didn't know what it was anymore. I kind of assumed that it had gotten a lot less, like, moved away from, like, the central battle royale thing into something more metaversey than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's kind of what happened with Minecraft. Like, if you try to log into Minecraft now, it's really inscrutable. Like, you could piece it together, but, like, there's a lot going on in Minecraft. But, like, Fortnite is still very much built to be a fun video game. Like and that is still what it is. I don't know how people are going to concerts and stuff. Good on them. I don't know where
there's
the
a Lady
concerts
Gaga
are.
Concert coming up probably.
Yeah, like I don't know where that happens, but it is like again, so this is like a completely new experience for me playing Fortnite. And I'm sure a lot of this has been like sanded and honed to perfection over time. But at every point, Fortnite, which is like very briefest pitch, Battle Royale, like a bunch of people drop out of a flying bus and then try to kill each other. And they're forced into closer proximity by an oncoming storm. You can work solo or in teams. There's guns all over the map and you're trying to like get the guns and the cars to try to stay one step ahead and kill the other people, right? That's the base thing.
Just like real life.
Just like real life. I was shocked by how this game at every single turn makes like the funnest choice possible, right? Like when you get into the water, if you jump while you're in the water, you start doing dolphin dives and you go really fast. It's fun. When you drive a car into the water, do you know what happens?
What happens, Justin?
You just keep going. It's great. Like, it doesn't stop. Why would it stop? That would be sucky if it stopped. Maybe it just goes on the water. It's fantastic. You want to be. And then the IP thing is the other thing. Like, I thought that it would be pretty cringy. Like, some of these, like, different characters, different IP that are just sort of, like, dragged into Fortnite. But it's actually the opposite. I feel like it is treating these IP with the exact amount of respect they deserve, which is probably speaking none. So it's like Boba Fett with a Spider-Man parachute, like hacky sacking, which is something like you can do whenever. And it's great. It's like, it's completely silly and idiotic. And I really, 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 right now, especially, I'm super duper enjoying it.
Fresh, should I give like a very quick history of this? And then you can tell us where the game is now. Because
sure.
I know we have a lot of listeners who don't play every game.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Fortnite, when it came out, 4 years ago? Is that right?
2017, I want to say.
Sure. When it came out, it originally was a survival action horror multiplayer game that had been in development for a very long time and seemed like it was kind of dead in the water. It was not the game that we are playing right now whatsoever. It was called like Fortnite Save the World.
And it's still that yes. still exists. For
and
what
it still exists. And then PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds came out. We all loved it. And Epic, the people who make Fortnite, we're like, hey, nothing to lose here. Let's shift our resources and do one of those. And I remember being in the newsroom at Polygon when that happened and the general reaction being like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Like, yeah, right. Like, you know, like this game has such a bad reputation right now. Very hard to see how this will work. And we kind of understood that you could build things, so that was going to be the big difference. But there weren't like vehicles like PUBG. It didn't seem as like fleshed out as PUBG. It looked pretty basic. And then we played it, and it was like very cool. The one thing that made me fall off was it kind of was still, I guess, in beta-ish. But people got really good at building, like really, really good, where when you watched on Twitch, it was hard to even see how they were building these massive towers, and it became kind of impossible to play for me as someone who is a little more casual, because I just couldn't, I'd get to the end of the Battle Royale round, and then I would have no hope of actually winning, because I just wasn't a, you know, master builder.
Yeah, you're an elite gamer who love shooting and doing it when it hits their head and you get extra points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not playing. I wasn't interested in playing the fucking This Old House with Bob Vila simulator.
Exactly.
You know,
you're not a doozer.
Right.
Right.
You need to build delicious structures for Fraggles.
So then we Out of Touch Olds fell off, and then a trillion things happened. And then I log on and I see, like, I don't know. It's like, do you want to play in the metaverse? And that's fresh. How about you explain that? Because honestly, the options were a little intimidating.
Are you talking about like creative mode, or are you talking about
everything? When you turn it on,
where we
so
are now.
Much.
So that was more or less a summary of the old stuff.
Yeah.
Since then, the big changes I would say are they added this creative mode that is sort of like mini Roblox, if you will, where people can make their own modes within the game. So if you want to make a sort of obstacle course a la Double Dare, you can do that within the tools of Fortnite. You can make your own areas. You can make little like scenes for yourself. That's fine. So that's creative mode. And then for the main game, over time, and I'm not entirely sure why this happened, it does seem like the building aspects have been de-emphasized. It's possible that they tuned it such that like, oh, buildings get destroyed easier, so it's not as much of an advantage. But you will see way less buildings, so it kind of starts feeling more like a traditional battle royale game. And over these 4 years, they've consistently added just gobs of content to that system. You know, it started with vehicles and swimming and basic stuff like that. Just most recently with Chapter 3, which they just launched, they added sliding. So if you're on any incline in the game and you start sliding, you will just keep going forever until you hit a flat piece of land. And that alone is kind of a game changer, because it makes you feel you can move a lot faster while sliding, but it also just makes you feel like you're in an actual environment, like in the way that you feel when you're in Breath of the Wild and you jump on your shield. So it feels kind of more involved with that.
It's inspired by a PC game called Tribes.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
And talk about locomotion, y'all. They put Spider-Man gloves in there.
Yeah, so just to touch on the metaverse, like, franchise-y stuff. So they have started bringing in, you know, X-Men and music stars that I've never heard of as, like, playable characters and skins, and they'll do themes around each season. So in this case, this season is very Spider-Man-themed, so you can unlock a Spider-Man skin, but also you can get these gloves that let you shoot spider webs. And just like shooting the spider webs feels amazing. It just feels like they've been honing, you know, Justin said, sanding down the edges. And that's what the last 4 years have been about, where they're just constantly adding wild shit to the game. And it feels really good. Just this week, like 2 days ago, as a hot fix, not even as like a hugely promoted event, they added fucking tornadoes to Fortnite. and these giant like F5 tornadoes like out of Twister show up, and you can run into them and they send you up into the air, and everyone's fucking there's like sharks and shit flying in the air, and that's just in a normal match now.
Yeah, it's. I had one yesterday where it's like it was in a very small circle and it was close to the end, and there was like four or five people left, and we were all in the fucking tornado, just like looking at each other, like, man, when we land, it's gonna be on. But right now, let's just enjoy our time together.
Yeah,
in this tornado.
Yeah, Griffin, I'm curious what your take is again as someone who took a long break and then came back to it.
Yeah, I've never been particularly good at like the core gameplay of Fortnite.
The shooting part or the building or both?
Honestly, both. The shooting has never felt right to me. I think it's because it is the third person.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, like, that kind of messes me up. And so playing it now, I am definitely having more fun. But I find that like when it comes time to get down and dirty and get down to the business of eliminating haters so that I can take home the W, I don't enjoy it as much. So after a few matches of attempting to like succeed at Fortnite, I eventually just started goofing off, and I started to treat it more like a sort of just cause situation. And that is a better way to play the game, in my opinion, because it's frankly, I also think that Fortnite is like too fast for me, like the pace of it in general. I think I was better at PUBG because it was a lot more, you know, wait to shoot, you know, wait for the moment. And that is something that I'm more capable of doing than like managing to land headshots on somebody who is sliding down a hill at 900 miles an hour. But like, I hear your point about it's refreshing to play a game where you're not just grinding to get some exotic weapon. Because, you know, I've definitely gotten burned out on Destiny for that very reason. But also, like, I enjoy playing Fortnite without trying to win.
Yeah.
And that relieves, like, this sort of tremendous pressure that PUBG kind of, that I identify PUBG with. Like, that game was a scary game to play at times when you were down to the final 10 and, you know, trying to squeeze out a win. And if I don't treat Fortnite like that, I think it's an absolute blast. I also think the additional game modes are great too. There's a prop hunt variant in there that is pretty good, and I very much like prop hunt as a game mode. But there's so much stuff. I was overwhelmed just looking at the like main menu because I was like, okay, let's see what the options are. I'm gonna guess solo, duos, and group, and it's like, nah, bud. There's a billion different ways to play the game right now.
Yeah, I think the like keeping that in mind that like the stakes are extremely low at all times, even if you're down to the top 10, like you don't like it used to really emphasize winning as a way to like level up and unlock stuff and whatever. Now it's just not at all the priority. Like it's more like, oh, I need to like explore this area, or I need to jump off of, you know, through a flaming hoop five times, or like it just gives you a lot of things to keep you busy that aren't just winning the game, which I think helps a lot. I also want to mention, I like hesitate to mention this because it is sort of part of the way that they onboard people.
Oh no, you're going to ruin it for people just like you ruined it for me.
I think I should say I think it's important.
It's better.
So since...
I'm glad that I know.
Since
now.
Most people played, they have added bots to Fortnite. Now, the bots are not labeled, and unless you've played a bunch of Fortnite, you probably won't be able to tell which are bots and which are real players. But they added bots as a way to ease people in such that they feel like they do pretty well early on and sort of get the systems. It almost feels like a tutorial to introduce you to the systems of Fortnite. As you play, as you level up, the bots will slowly move out and you'll see fewer and fewer of them until eventually it's just players. I think it's a really smart way to do it. I actually really like them insofar as even though I've played a lot, having a bot there, I almost treat it like a mobile chest where, oh, I know they're going to drop a bunch of loot, and that's kind of nice. And it keeps me on my toes, but not in the way that like, oh, this guy is sliding right at me and using every extreme skill he has to take me down. Unfortunately, now that I'm saying this, I do realize that it does pop the bubble of people like Justin and Plant, who thought that they won their first five games just randomly because they're that good.
You don't realize this now. You realize this when you told us. And you just love popping bubbles.
Yeah, it didn't. It did. It, I won my first game. Like, the first time I played Fortnite, I won. And I was like, well, hold on. I started checking for, like, a tattoo I've had since birth signified me as the chosen. It's so sad. Believe it or not, America's best Fortnite player is a portly 41-year-old.
You have a birthmark that looks like a big, dumb goldfish man. What is that?
But I appreciated it because it does make it less frustrating. Like, when you're trying to figure stuff out and there's a lot to figure out, it can be very annoying to just get, like, sniped out of nowhere, so it's nice to feel like you could actually, like, make a difference your first game. But Russ, I think I'm doing it okay. Russ,
yeah, I think that's the point. I think you
let's focus on me before you make it.
I was
going to
focus on you.
Thing.
I think the point is perfect. You getting your feet wet, understanding the systems, using bots and stuff like that. But as you play more and as you level up, they get funneled out and you've got the basic skills such that now you do pretty well against normal players. Like, I am impressed by your skill set.
There's even stuff that feels good that I hate in other games. Like, and I don't know what, like, weird magic they're using, but, like, I even like using sniper rifles. And I don't know why, but it just, like, it feels okay. Part of it is, like, it looks great, and you can, like, see bullet drop.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch it, like, actually physically see bullet drop, which is
very
cool.
It's colorful, which I think makes a big difference. Yeah. Like, obviously, a lot of shooters, like, as much as we're all excited about games like Stalker, I really like color in my games, and yeah.
Wait. Are you excited about Stalker?
No, not really.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that was a royal Wii, realize people are excited. I like color in my games and it's like a clean look. It's why I like the Halo's art design as well. It's a very colorful game and very clean, so you can like make out enemies very clearly.
Make out with enemies.
They also added
you can see every angle of it for your fan art.
If the bot thing kind of puts you off a little bit, it's worth noting you can play. There's a mode called Arena, and there will be no bots in Arena, but it does use skill based matchmaking. So you will play mostly newer players in that. It won't be as easy as bots, but just a heads up.
And it's not all bots, right? No. Like,
You might have. I played a match with you, and it was definitely matchmaking off of your level of experience because it was like the third or fourth game you played. I do not think we saw a single living player in that game.
It's gotten better.
Yeah. The last game we played was definitely real players.
Did I mention the Spider-Man gloves? Because I want to take a second. Spider-Man swinging is like a mechanic that I've talked and written about extensively for many, many years. It is actually one of like the best, funnest like Spider-Man swinging mechanics that has been in a video game. And they're just like, there, like you can go by the Daily Bugle, and like Spider-Man has like webbed up backpacks on the building. They're on other buildings, but they're like it's basically guaranteed at the Daily Bugle from what I found. And you grab these gloves, and then you just like, and then it's just an item that you have, and you can swing around, and it like it lets you swing for a very long time. You traverse huge areas like extremely quickly, faster than any vehicle I've found. You can just sort of fly through, and it makes like getting away from enemies a lot more fun, and it feels like cheating in a way that like is I don't know, they just kind of threw it in because like I don't know, it's fun. The first time I encountered them, by the way, the person who had them was wearing the Spider-Man skin, and I thought, well, that's fucking horseshit.
Yeah, Justin brought it up to me. He's like, that's not fair.
It's not fair. Spider-Man can swing around like that. It's like, okay, wait. This is an item, anybody can get it. So then I got to have Boba Fett swing around while he swung like with his friend Rick and Morty.
It is the most, it's so dumb. Like, I realize Roblox is probably even further down this road, but because of the official franchises that they've sort of integrated into Fortnite, it's the most metaversey thing that I play on a regular basis.
They've integrated them and then they've abandoned them. So it's just like, it's not like, because it's been going on for so long, right? It's not like I had any awareness of the things that have happened before. Like, and they're not in the world and there's not storylines about them. It's just you get shot and then fucking Rick is teabagging you. Like, you know, John Wick is in the toilet exploding it. It's also like, not to discount, we talked about building, but it also makes getting around the world a lot more fun when you can like destroy basically everything, like anything that you want to go to. It's fun making the calculus when you're getting shot at, like, would it be quicker for me to just knock this wall down and hide behind it? Or should I, you know, run around the building?
Yeah. Plant, what is your, like, is this something that you think you would stick with? Or is it just like, oh, I'm glad I played this now that I know?
Well, I don't stick with anything because I don't have time to I don't have time for a game like this in my life, or else I wouldn't play other things. But I feel like this is, I don't know, maybe like once every week or so, I could see myself hopping in here and, you know, just like seeing what's up. I am curious about it in a way that I wasn't before. And I can see how people feel like they're getting a new game every month, right? Like, it changes so much. I just think the best decision they made was to stop worrying about esports. Because esports ruin games like this, in my opinion, for the majority of players. For the esports players, whatever, I'm sure that's not the case. But I look at, like, have you seen the stuff with Halo right now? Where there's kind of, like, a divide between the esports players who want them to, like, nerf certain guns and the people who play because video games are fun, who are like, why would you take away the things that we like? And I wonder if at the beginning of Fortnite, they were like very into the esports thing. And I remember, you know, Fresh, I think we went to some of those championships.
Yeah.
And now it feels like, especially once the pandemic started and everybody was just hanging out inside, they were like, whatever, we don't care about balance. We're just going to throw in fun stuff over and over and over. And like, it's better to keep 90% of the fans happy than like the 10% who we think are good for marketing.
Yep.
It's also good for, like, it's perfectly timed, this little infatuation, because there ain't no game.
Can everybody so share their good. Favorite character?
Oh, like who we main as?
Well, who would you, well, I mean, I don't, I haven't been playing for a few years, so I can't just.
Who do you main as, Plant?
I want to main as Paul. Paul from who? Dune.
Oh. I thought you meant Paul from that movie, Paul.
No, well, I just like that Paul is like a main character in anything. And Paul from Dune seems very chill. He is in there.
I'm frustrated by the ones that I missed. Looking back at like the John Wick skin and things like that I really wish I had.
Well, the John Wick skin might come back.
Is Marshmallow a playable character in this?
He is. Yes.
Marshmallow?
Yes, you can play as Marshmallow.
I would probably be him, so my son would like me more.
Yeah, reasonable. I like Bush Ranger. He's a bush, and he runs around. And you could hide in a bush, which does seem like cheating, but it works.
Russ has this thing where he gets mad at me for making noise, and then he will wear a fucking like a living Dia de los Muertos like display, like with like fireworks shooting off of it. And he's like, shh. Be quiet, we're sneaking up on them. Meanwhile, he looks like fucking Tina Turner cosplaying as Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I do have a desire to pick the most ridiculous skin possible, because when I do win, which doesn't happen frequently, but when I do, I want the other person to feel really bad about themselves.
The aesthetics of, I should also mention, I should be, to be fair, the aesthetics of all the characters that are not licensed characters are
oh, not true. I don't like a lot of the aesthetics.
It's not true that they're not repellent
all
to me. Oh,
to you, fine. I don't think all of them are repellent. I think you just have, I would say 90% of them are repellent to me, but I think there might be a few you like.
See, I was onboarded to that.
I'm level 100. I own all the skins available in this chapter. I don't like
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that, I'm, Russ.
Oh, the original,
you have
sorry.
To listen to me. Okay, so you did hear. You just decided to ignore. I love Spider-Man! How dare you? I love Spider-Man. And I love it that he can have a big, stupid metal umbrella and swing a hammer made of bubble gum.
I will agree that the bubble gum man is maybe the worst thing I've ever laid my eyes on.
The one with the bubble gum machine?
It scares me.
I like that.
But that's the thing about Fortnite, is that it really does, because there's so many fucking skins, there's always going to be something. So for me, I pick the big, cute, furry guys. That's like my preference for Fortnite skins. And in general, bears. I love the bears. For Griffin, he loves Gumball Guy. For Justin, I don't know, whatever, John Wick.
I only play as licensed characters. I always play as Boba Fett or Spider-Man. Because if I could be Boba Fett or Spider-Man, I'm not going to be like some Gen X samurai or whatever. Come on. I'm going to be Spider-Man or Boba Fett.
And that's the thing about this game existing for 4 years and constantly adding new shit, is that there is something for everyone. And it's weird because it is that, and that they all exist in the same universe. Mm-hmm. So
I'll be able to be The Rock soon. And once I can be The Rock, I don't know how I go back from that.
Only not like, The Rock, right? Like an in-fiction character played by The Rock. Yes?
True, yes.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's even, you're right. You understand, like, that's even wilder.
Like, he doesn't have his like driver's license and social security card and say like, yes, it's me, Dwayne Johnson.
Whoa, this is a game changer. Fresh and I have a bet that Tom Cruise will be in Fortnite, but Tom Cruise won't be in Fortnite. A character that was played by
Ethan
Tom
Hunt.
Cruise.
Ooh, Wayne's Basement will be in Fortnite, but that's not Wayne's Basement. Isn't that weird?
All right, let's not talk about Fortnite anymore. Yeah, it's a weird-ass game.
I can't stop talking about Fortnite. It's all I think about. I wish I was playing Fortnite right now. Let's take a quick break, and we'll delve deep into the pools of memory.
Hey, we got an idea from one of our listeners on Twitter, who I don't know their name. They're Twitter is GL, so hello. I can tell that they're a Steelers fan based off their icon. Congratulations to them. They made the playoffs this weekend because the Raiders decided to kick an unnecessary field goal. It was wonderful. Anyway, their request was that we share some gems from our childhood video game time. Frushnik actually modified this slightly to say, let's make these hidden gems, you know? We don't want to be out here just saying, you know, like, go play that Mario 3, because people here know that, you know, our listeners are smart. They don't need that help. So, childhood deep cuts. Frush, do you have one?
I do. Frush, I have one.
What I see here is not a deep cut.
No, it is. It is. Trust me, it is.
I'm offended. You and Justin both brought games with the biggest character in video game history in them. And you're going to tell me
mine
is
a
deep
cut. Mine is a deep cut. Justin's maybe not. But mine definitely is.
Okay.
Mine is a deep cut because I have no idea what this game is called. And I need help from our listeners to sleuth this out. I have done research on this. I cannot find this game for the life of me. Okay, story time. When I was a kid, my neighbor, who had all the like dope shit, the TurboGrafx fucking Nomad, the like all the modern stuff that I didn't have. So I would go over there and I'd play games on his system. One of the games that I played while I was there, in my memory, was a Mario game, and it starred Baby Mario. I want to say this was like SNES era or late NES era. Bonk. It starred Baby Mario. It was a platforming game. And for the bulk of the platforming, you would crawl as Baby Mario around these like levels, these 2D like traditional Mario style levels. You'd crawl as Baby Mario. But instead, when you got a star, you would run around. Like, that was suddenly the moment where Baby Mario learned to walk, and you could actually walk like a normal Mario game, and you'd play through levels like that. I have very strong memories of this, but every time I've done research to try to find this game, I have not found it. I don't know if it was a hacked, like, knockoff Mario game. I don't know if it was official Baby Mario game, like the first appearance of Baby Mario before Yoshi's Island. I do not know. And if anyone has any insight into this, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. The only thing I'll add to that is there was a level where you played on the ceiling, where the baby would crawl on the ceiling like Trainspotting. So if that helps at all, just use that as research.
I'm probably wrong, but my best guess is Little Nemo in Slumberland.
I don't think it was that, because I have very clear memories of what that game is. I loved it. You ride on a mouse. You were in like jammies. It was great. It wasn't that.
Mm. Okay. So, okay. Well, that's a deep cut. Very that's utterly useless to our listeners.
Did you ever have like a very bad fever as a child, Russ? Did you ever get like, did you ever get bit by a tick or something and get a really bad fever?
There was a time where I was locked in the room for like 3 or 4 weeks. So it's possible that's what was going on, but.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That might be what we're dealing with here.
Justin. Justin.
Yeah.
You also brought a Mario game.
No,
what
I didn't.
Did you bring?
I brought the Mario Paint Nintendo Player's Guide. I'm going to text you guys. I'm going to Slack you guys a link, actually. And please peruse this while I am talking about it. Because just looking at it again fucking really sent me.
Oh, my God. I remember this. This was in our our bathroom reading basket for a long time.
Yeah. How do you need, do you need a guide to make art, though?
No, but like look through... If only you had the PDF directly in front of you. Okay, good. Then just look at it for a second. It's if you don't know Mario Paint, which is possible. We have many young folks in the audience. It was a SNES title where it came with a mouse, right? And so it had different functions of where you could create your own pixel art. You could score your own music that would use like in-game sounds like it was a basically a synthesizer where the different sounds were represented by like Mario style icons, and there was also like some limited animation that you could create. It was a very, very like forward thinking and I think sort of like before its time sort of tool that is that I think was very, very, very cool, and it was one that you could play for like a very long time. And to me, the main thing that I remember from the Nintendo Player's Guide, they would have like different pixel art that you could painstakingly create and show you, like, it shows you the grid, shows you the exact colors for each dot of the grid, where you could like piece by piece just like recreate these sprites that you'd seen. There was also like a lot of sheet music in there, where to show you how to do like theme from Star Wars or whatever, you know, like popular music. There's a Bart, how you can create pixel art Bart, just like he looks on the NES. And it would just be like, I was thinking about it, and it is the number one memory I have from like childhood gaming, because I'll never have the time again to sit in front of my Nintendo and painstakingly like transpose Little Brown Jug into a, you know, I'll never sit there for a half hour making the Atlanta Falcons logo out of 7 different sprites. that has come and gone, that time in my life where that would be, but I remember it being so soothing, systematically creating things. And then Nintendo Player's Guide, it's great for kids that don't have like a real artistic bent, because it just dials into that part of you. It's like, it's okay, just recreate this exactly, methodically.
This guide is I want to do an entire episode just wild on this guide, because there's a page on just the history of music from 1960 to 1990.
Yeah, I'm looking at that exact page right now.
But you know, like most kids art forms, Jones and for the Velvet Underground and Nico, that you don't think that
there's
was like
a box here that just says music history 1960 and 1990, 1967 Velvet Underground and Nico, 1984 Bruce Springsteen, 1988 John Lennon, 1991 Guns N' Roses. That's pretty comprehensive right there.
1988 John Lennon,
I don't think that was the peak of that gentleman.
He died a month after I was born. It's certainly not correct.
I think that's the release of the Imagine album. Not like,
yeah,
kind of, that would be like putting like 1996 or whatever, the Beatles anthology.
Right.
But they have pages and pages of like full like helmets, like here, you can create a Cincinnati Bengals helmet. You just need 9 different
stamps. I can't believe
stamps.
The copyright stuff here. There's an entire page dedicated to recreating Disney characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's wild. If you search for it, you'll find a PDF of it immediately. I'm going to look on eBay to see if I can.
We'll drop it on Twitter so people can check it out.
Yeah, there's also like a Mario Paint gallery that doesn't show you how to make it, and it's just like check out. Oh god, there's one called Stevie's Wonders that's just like Jaws and E.T. and Indiana Jones in one piece of art. Finally,
that's fantastic. I can't remember if this was in our childhood or not, but I remember buying a secondhand copy of Mario Paint long after we had, you know, the zeitgeist had died down, that somebody had carved into the gray plastic of the cartridge, watch my video. And then, do you remember this, or was this...
if you didn't watch it, you died.
No,
I
it was...
That exactly.
This is a real thing that happened. I bought it secondhand, I think at some used game shop, without realizing somebody had defaced it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I clicked in to watch my video, and it was like a 3-frame animation using a coloring book page of Yoshi, like Mario on Yoshi's back. So they didn't even draw it. What they did add was a 3-frame animation of brown spray coming out of Yoshi's butt. And it's like, damn, I can't even imagine. What if I had deleted this without even seeing it? Thanks for the heads up by defacing the cartridge.
That's my kind of humor.
It's really good. There's also like a lot of like hidden stuff in Mario. I just really
do
like
we have
Mario
any other
Paint.
Deep cuts?
I mean, the successor to that was Game Boy Camera, which I could bring, but I don't think that's a deep cut at all, because Game Boy Camera had the same sort of playfulness and, like, extreme weirdness about it, and I played that game a lot, mostly because I traded in, like, 15 Super Nintendo games that I am kicking myself for divesting. So, yeah, I played quite a bit of Game Boy Camera. I wanted to bring Illusion of Gaia. That was a game I played maybe like 5 or 6 times all the way through, like before middle school. Did you guys ever play that one?
No.
I don't.
Okay, so Illusion of Gaia was from, it was one of the Quintet games. And Quintet is one of the more fascinating developers from that era, published by Enix. Quintet made ActRaiser. Then they made Soul Blazer, then they made ActRaiser 2, and in the same year they released Illusion of Gaia. They also did Robotrek and Terranigma, which are both also, like, I think could qualify for this list. But Illusion of Gaia was like a top-down action RPG, I guess, sort of in the vein of Zelda, where you played a boy named Will who had, like, telekinetic powers, but it was all about the wonders of the world. It like art, like fantasy RPGized like ruins of like actual Earth civilizations and, you know, the Great Wall of China and the Great Pyramid. They were all like playable levels, and you like were able to commune with like the voice of the planet who lets you transform into like different types of heroes.
This looks good.
Oh wow! Yeah,
you remember this?
And
like, it was a wild fucking game. Like, you start out in this village and you and your friends like go on this journey around the world, and some wild shit happens. Like, one of the kids gets eaten by a whale and then like fuses with them and talks to you about like how death isn't all that bad. Whoa. And it's like, what the fuck, Illusion of Gaia? It tells this extremely like mature story. It has some really, really great puzzles, and great music, and it is a wild, like, unforgettable game for me. It is the one that I always recommend to people to like seek out if they think that they have played all of the, you know, classics from the SNES era, because this one definitely stands out in my memory.
Plant, what about you?
Remember when EA made like really weird games instead of just making like the same 4 games over and over again? I brought that era basically in 2 games in particular. Did y'all play General Chaos or Haunting on Sega Genesis?
I didn't play much on Sega Genesis. I was
I forgot you both know. Had nice childhoods. I was stuck with Sonic. So General Chaos I can make quick, but it was this like tactical war game where it was isometric and you could play it multiplayer, and you would just have your team of like, I think it was like 4 or 5 characters, or you could have like 2 super characters, and you would just like shoot and throw grenades back and forth at each other. It was one of the first multiplayer games that really devoured my neighborhood's time. Like, it was one of the times where, you know, pre-Nintendo 64, where I was like, oh, wow, we could just lose weekends doing this, which I hadn't really had before. And then Haunting is a wild, wild game. Basically, the way it worked was you would go into a house and there would be a family in the house and you played this, like, puckish ghost who could I looked it up. You collect frightums, and frightums are different items around the house that either you can set as traps or you can actually inhabit to scare the people in the house. So it's like Goofy Poltergeist the video game. And it's
dope.
Wild. Yeah, the animation on it is super cool. It's almost one of those games now that is better to go back and just watch on YouTube, because playing either of these games is a little tricky. But yeah, I really liked this era where EA was, it felt like they were just like, I don't know, a game where you get to be a ghost seems cool. And they did this for like 20 years. Like, they partnered with, like, I think Timothy Leary to make a game about psychedelic therapy in the early 90s. Like, they had this, like, streak for quite a while, and then they hit on Madden, and it seems like the rest is history, baby.
The jocks took over.
Jocks.
Well, I think we've proved our street cred at this point that we're cool.
Yeah, we're pretty cool.
We'll know we're legit.
The real deep shit.
Anything for Rears that they've suggested, the, you know, memories that they
have? Yeah, let me pull that up. You know, I didn't put it in our sheet, but I just want to shout out all the people who recommended Beetle Adventure Racing and Mystical Ninja Guaymon for Nintendo 64.
I didn't know if that was a deep cut either, but I adored that game.
Those games rule. They are fantastic. Some deep cuts that we have here from Brenna on Twitter. I played Space Station Silicon Valley nonstop. You play as a microchip and have to jump in and out of numerous mechanical animals, each with their own set of unique abilities. It's ridiculous insanity and so fun. Yeah, that game rules. And a game that we will be talking about next week, I think, borrows a lot from this game. Like, a lot from this game. So kind of weird coincidence.
What game is that?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Nobody Saves the World. Whether or not we've actually played it or just talking about a trailer, who knows? The next one from Rye, Lost Kingdoms, a From Software game. Did either of you play this?
No.
I believe it was on GameCube. The history of From Software before Demon's Souls is a very interesting one. And that's one of those things where I wish I had all the time in the world and I could go back and play some of those games. And then one more from CW, the NES port of Rygar, a completely broken translation made an already mysterious world seem even more alien and intriguing to me. It's the epitome of Conan-style sword and sorcery gaming with RPG elements. I played it recently on Switch's NES library, and it holds way up. Love anything like this that is on the Switch NES library that I have not made time for. I can go give a try. I always think that's great.
It's an inscrutable game.
Yeah?
Sweet right, Mark. Yeah, it's a fucking wild one.
Hey, remember when Capcom just made, like, Disney games? And they were great?
Yeah, man. And they were fantastic.
Oh, that I should have brought that. Is that a deep cut to say Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on NES?
No, not a deep cut.
Okay. Oh.
No. Not at our age. Anything you remember is a deep cut.
Should we do honorable mentions real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to call out a TV show called How To with John Wilson.
The best.
It's on HBO Max or HBO if you prefer the old version. It is a first-person documentary set in New York, and each episode is like a how-to, like how to buy real estate or how to make friends, but ends up being like a hilarious and creative and surprisingly moving analysis on like the human psyche.
I think it's also the best TV show or movie ever made about New York.
It is an incredibly authentic portrayal of New York because he's walking around getting footage.
It's so good.
I have been playing there. I have this weird oversight in my like Zelda experience. That is that I never really played much of Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons for the Game Boy Color. These were, I forget exactly when they came out. I feel like it was pretty late in the Game Boy Color lifetime.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But they were paired Zelda games that were completely different, right? It wasn't like a Pokemon Green or Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Red situation. Like the games were totally different with different dungeons and different items and all that jazz. And in one of them, the main mechanic is that you can switch the world between four seasons at will, and each season kind of like changes the environment. So like in winter, you can freeze water so that you can walk on it. And in summer, vines grow. And then in Oracle of Ages, you can switch between the present and the past and like solve puzzles using that mechanic also. Like I've been desperate to, you know, find more stuff to play on the Analog Pocket. And so I've been playing Oracle of Seasons. I'm about halfway through it. It's fucking fantastic. It's really, really, really good. It's some of the best like 2D dungeon design I feel like I've ever seen in a Zelda game before.
And made by Capcom.
And made by Capcom, yeah. It was a wild, there's like a wild sort of gachapon mechanic where you collect rings that like give you these permanent bonuses while you're wearing them. Like there's a lot of stuff that game does that no other Zelda game really did. And I'm really, really enjoying it. Of course, it helps that like Game Boy Color games look so fucking good on the Pocket, like better even than Game Boy Advance games, just because the aspect ratio is kind of correct for the Pocket screen. So yeah, I've been, I haven't had a lot of time to game out, but when I, as one says, but when I have been gaming out, I've been doing that, and it's great.
Y'all, I've been watching that Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Is this your first time?
So, have you had, I'm curious if y'all have had this experience as, you know, 90s kids. When you go back and watch anime that you watched as a kid, that you like kind of piece together from like friends' VHS tapes because it cost a fortune or was illegal. I thought I had seen all of this show. I definitely had not seen all of this show like at all. So it is a trip going back and watching something that I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw this, and that just not being the case. And watching it like in high def and it just, you know, streaming whenever I want it. The kids have it easy these days with their Funimations and their Crunchyrolls, you know? Mm-hmm. But wow, this show is sad, you know?
How far into it are you?
About 8 episodes. It's pretty sad.
Okay.
You know, so far, Shinji, pretty sad. He seems really unhappy, and I have a feeling it's not going to get better for him. That's just a guess from me.
Oh, no, man. It all comes together.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah,
it's
got big rom-com energy.
My decision right now is...
I think I are maybe the only people...
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm going to watch all of it, and then I'm going to watch the movie. So I'll be talking about this every week, Justin. Don't worry.
That's perfect. That's good B-room time for me. Sometimes I need a B-room break when we get to this point of the episode. I real quick wanted to talk about Keys and Kingdoms, which is a game that I got for Charlie for Christmas. And I just randomly kind of saw it at Best Buy when I was like looking for stuff for the holiday, but it turned out to be really, really neat. So in the box, there is a USB keyboard and a lightning adapter. So you could plug it into a computer or a, like a phone or an iPad or whatever. And there is a game that you download that is a like open world RPG sort of. But the, like spells, the way you cast spells, the way you defend, even the way you move around the world, are all conducted through playing on the keyboard. So it's all controlled via the keyboard. So if you want to, you know, defend against an attack, then to do an attack, you have to play like a sequence of notes in rhythm, right? Which is what's really cool about it is, one, like, you're learning stuff and getting more comfortable with, like, the mechanics of using a keyboard.
Typing keyboard,
like,
or
a musical keyboard?
Oh, yeah, like a musical keyboard. Sorry. Okay. I should have clarified. So you're playing songs basically to do the spells. But they've thought it through this mechanic in a lot of really cool ways. So, like, if an enemy is attacking you, to represent that, you don't know all the notes that are being played and you kind of have to kind of intuit them tonally, right? Like, you hear the note and you have to think, like, okay, that's probably like one step up. When you craft an item, you can play you basically compose a song that you then have to play through. And that's how you, like, craft items is through the keyboard and making music like that. And it's got a lot of the, like, mechanics that you would expect in something like this. Like, there's different levels of items, and those items do, you know, have different effects and armor and customization. Like, the game itself, divorced from the keyboard mechanics, would not be anything worth noting. But, like, when Charlie plays, like, she's actually, like, motivated to play more and get better at it. And it's been a very cool way to spend some time. It also weirdly sends me a report card via email that tells me, like, how her practice is coming and, like, how she's improving and getting better at it. But it's really cool. It was like $80, I think. You can find a lot of them on eBay for like 40 or 35 or 40. So it's
the
cool.
Evil emperor that you're trying to topple played by Billy Joel.
Yeah, it's Billy Joel. So you've played it.
Yeah.
Okay. But they call him Jilly Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, to make him more sinister, I guess. I don't actually get it. I'm the piano man, Drake.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I want to thank the following people for writing reviews for the besties on Apple Podcasts. We have Gary Oaks Balls, which I assume is Pokeballs. Wack Island, Dane Stevens, Mikers 90, Lauren W. Dickey. Thank you for writing reviews on Apple.
God, the greatest usernames on our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just
they're
fantastic.
Great. Love them. And thanks to everyone else who has written reviews on there. I see them all, so we really, really appreciate it.
Here is what we talked about this week. We talked about Fortnite in the year of our Lord 2022. We talked about some of our hidden gems of our childhood. Griffin brought Illusion of Gaia. I brought General Chaos and Haunting. Russ brought a game that looks like your baby Mario, and we need your help to figure out what it was. I am positive somebody is going to know. Like, we're going to get a tweet.
Oh, by 15 minutes after this episode
exactly.
goes out, Russ is going to get the
tweets. And Hoops brought Mario Paint Nintendo Player's Guide. Good luck getting any of those games.
Make sure you tweet that PDF out for people to peruse.
Yeah.
Are we going to get sued for that?
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses might sue us because their entire album is in there.
He can sue me, but he can't see the sweet child of mine. Mm. Russ brought How To With John Wilson as a recommendation, which is on HBO Max. I brought Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is on Netflix. Griffin brought Oracle of Ages and Seasons, which is on the Game Boy Color. And Justin brought Keys and Kingdoms, which is on a PC, I guess. That's the best way to play that, right?
She's just playing it on iPad. But you could even, I think you could download it and play without the keyboard even. There's an on-screen keyboard, but like, I don't think that would be the best way of doing
interesting.
It.
Interesting. Next week, y'all, we will be talking about Nobody Saves the World, the latest game from very, very, very long time favorite of the podcast, Drinkbox Studios. I actually think in our first episode, we discuss a Drinkbox game.
No,
Alien. Mutant Blob from
Mutant Blob's
outer space. Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's in our first episode. So this is a nice, we are almost exactly at 10 years from that episode. What kismet right here.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed yourself. We hope you'll join us again next time for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends get the world's best games? Besties.